project gets to the point where the loan, the amount equal to the loan is fully expended, my understanding is that then they give us money to pay off the loan we've taken out with the loan, and somehow the finance charges we pay on the interim financing then get rolled into the entire budget. So
it's thoroughly confusing.
Right. And it's monumentally annoying that we are having to accrue interest on money we're paying interest on. We will be paying interest on that.
Is there any way we can utilize a secure note from our own reserve to secure that and defray some of that cost?
I believe that we asked that question as well, and I will, because one of the things I thought is maybe we loan ourselves the money from our permanent fund,
right,
and then pay ourselves interest back rather than taking a loan from a bank. They have encouraged us not to do that because they said if you are able to self-fund, then it suggests you don't need the money.
But but you can waste money on interest, but we don't
That's correct. Yep. Good. Yeah. So if there's a mechanism, are you okay if I perhaps add that to these? Okay.
Yes.
And this is a discussion item, so I can bring these will come back for approval. So I'll add the USDA interim financing.
Any further questions, comments on that item? And 13G, proposed resolution number 02-18-1391. The resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the amendment of the job description for ground man, meter technician 1, the creation of the position groundman, meter technician 2, and the amendment of the union's wage and grade table.
Move to approve resolution number 02-18-1391, providing for the amendment of the job description for the meter technician 1, the creation of the position meter technician 2, and the amendment of the union wage and grade table.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? On this one, it's the creation of a new position within the line department, the technician too.
So we are not adding a position. What we are doing is providing for someone to move from one position to the next based on getting additional qualifications. So there's not an additional position being added to the FTE count, but just the potential to transfer based on work certifications and certain things from one position to the other. Initially we started out with this as one position essentially transitioning. It was all in one job description, and we decided that probably wasn't the best thing to do. So I apologize if it wasn't clear that this is not creating an additional position within the department.
Basically, if the person has shown merit, then he's basically just getting raised to a different position.
That's correct. Or if the person has these minimum qualifications to start with, they would be hired at the Tech 2 position rather than the Tech 1.
But we live to the years.
I'm sorry?
So are we hiring people and placing them? So an initial hire, do they get hired at year 4? Or do we, so I guess my question is that we have the years of service, correct?
That's correct.
Does this include this new system? Will anybody be moving along faster? Like, how is this going to affect our budget doing this new position?
So this, it's going to affect the budget in that you are increasing the wage scale for the existing position of the meter technician, which the person right now would be at a meter technician 1. So that wage is being increased to reflect the duties that person is actually doing. what was very interesting to me when we looked at and went through the process of hiring the apprentice lineman, the job description for the meter position actually requires more qualifications and more work related to line activity than the apprentice lineman, and is paid far less. And I thought, that's not right. So that's why I worked with Clay to amend the job description to reflect the actual needs and to reflect an appropriate pay. So I think you're asking is, will everybody that comes into one or the other of these jobs, depending, these job titles, depending upon how they are qualified, will they start at step A, or will they be brought in further down the wage scale? And I think that depends on experience. As you start off with everybody, bringing them in at an A, and if you look at what their experience is, given the job, then potentially we would start somebody at a B or a C step. That would depend on the person who applies for a job at the time. I can't guarantee you that it would always be at an A step, but that's where you start.
So potentially what we're doing is we're taking what we call a meter, you're technician one,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to make another position. I mean, basically, you're just going to split this up where we have technician one and technician two.
And if you reach a certain threshold, you become a tech two instead of a tech one.
Okay. So
we will not backfill the tech one position if someone becomes a tech two. I just want to be clear.
So you can potentially have two tech twos?
No. There will be one meter technician,
okay.
who will either be a tech one, or as they mature in their job capabilities and in their certifications, can become a tech two. There will only ever be one at a time.
Okay, so you got five people on this, working at this place, right? Okay, so you got tech one, tech two, linemen, and so on and so on. How does a tech one ever go anywhere if everybody stays in their job for 25 years?
They can move to a tech two.
You said you can't have two tech twos.
No, what's going to happen is they transition based on their acquired skill set and certifications. Their job description and their pay grade changes from tech one to tech two. That's it. There isn't an additional person hired. That person just transitions within their own job to the tech two.
So this is my understanding of it, David. You said if you have a current, you got Joe right now as a tech one, and he develops skills and different abilities and does different courses, he can get his tech two, and now he moves into the tech two
pay
position.
Scale.
Pay scale.
That's
but
correct.
There's only
and
one
job
position.
But he's still going to be doing the tech
he's
one
still,
job.
But at a higher level. That's correct. He's doing more work. He's doing different. There's differences between the two job descriptions.
More responsibility.
That's correct.
I understand. Okay. What I don't understand is what. I have a problem with pay scales going up right now in this time. Especially after what happened last 6 months ago. Okay? I don't like it. I feel that I want to review it a little bit. And I don't know. It's just my opinion. I mean, it's just my opinion. I think that we just went through a whole wage scale increase and everything. Now we're going to raise rates on our raise someone's pay again. And I just think it's a little quick without going into what we were doing.
I think from what I read in this summary is that this also particularly stood out as a much lower wage than is sort of seen within Southeast, substantially lower. And that, you know, when I first started reading, I was thinking, well, this is just somebody that goes out and reads the meters. It's not. They have responsibilities that extend beyond the meter reading, including doing additional schooling for testing meters on the bench, for going out and disconnecting services, and then also on top of that, they're utilizes the ground man for the lineman. So it's kind of a double job. Yeah. So for me, when I read that, it was like, okay, so we have a situation where somebody was particularly underpaid by regional standards. I don't see that same situation necessarily shaping up across the board for all of our employees. I think, you know, we have talked about a wage parity study, and we may, you know, we may find out there's other areas where we have issues with that. So I understand, I think, a little bit better. The only real question for me at the end of the day was something you said about a journeyman lineman was making more money doing less than the groundsman was.
What the job description requires.
Oh, sorry, apprentice lineman.
The apprentice lineman. What the job description required of prior to these changes, what the job description required for the meter position versus what the apprentice lineman position minimum qualifications were and job description is, I was astounded. I was like, what? I don't even understand. So perhaps there are some changes that need to take place to the apprentice lineman position job description as well, without a change in the pay rate. So that's something I need to revisit with the electric supervisor. But this, my understanding from the electric supervisor is that this, and I think he put it in the agenda statement, has been an undervalued position for a number of years. And without him even saying this to me, me looking at the job description, comparing it to the other one, said, what are we doing? This is ridiculous. This person's being asked to do far more and being paid far less. And that's when Clay said to me, thank you, somebody, for seeing this. So this is why I'm going to bat for this position, because there was a clear discrepancy. And when Clay, you know, I was not going to come to you with just, this is our opinion. That's why Clay went out and looked at what the market will bear for this around the rest of Southeast and provided that information.
I'm trying to think it. I've got a question. I'm trying to get it to
click out.
Click, get it in my mind how to put it. The question is the apprentice lineman right now doing the thing that is required of him under the job description?
Yes, he absolutely he is.
And the meter reader
is doing them as well.
Groundman is doing the responsible, what he's responsible.
That's correct.
And he's responsible actually for doing more.
Based on the job description, in my opinion, yes.
Then the, you know, so that would just get it clear in my mind that actually,
so
he's doing 2-18-1392, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, updating resolution number 06-15-1321 regarding the financing plan for the Shoemaker Bay Harbor project, relating to the project budget and issuance of revenue bonds.
Move to approve proposed resolution number 02-18-1392, updating resolution number 06-15-1321 regarding the financing plan for the Shoemaker Bay Harbor project relating to the project budget and the issuance of the revenue bonds. Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Brzanka?
Yes.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13J, approval of city tidelands annual 5-year reassessments.
Move to approve the 5-year city tideline reassessments as presented.
Second.
Been moved in. Second. Any discussion? Call the vote, please.
Assemblymember Brzanka?
Yes.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13K, approval to cancel the regular assembly meeting of February 13, 2018.
Move to approve consent order in the meeting of February 13, 2018.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll please.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Brzezinski?
Yes.
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
Mayor Jack?
Yes. 13F, acceptance of the resignation from Becky Rooney from the Borough Assembly.
Move to accept the letter of resignation from Assembly Member Becky Rooney from the Borough Assembly and to direct the Borough Clerk to begin advertising for the unexpired term ending in October 2018.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Regretfully, so
thank her for her service.
It's going to be a real loss. That's really too bad.
Yes.
Agreed.
Hold on, please.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Brzezinski?
Yes.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13M, approval of a letter to the Alaska Department of
Environmental
Conservation regarding Byford Junkyard Cleanup.
Move to approve letter to Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation regarding the Byford Junkyard Cleanup.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I will add
Yes. That
we did receive a report yesterday from ADEC as a follow-up. Yes, an updated report yesterday from ADEC as a follow-up to their visit of the other locations that they visited, and it does not appear that any of them sufficient to meet the minimum needs or requirements of what has to be in place in order to meet the standards for placement of that material, either in size, ability to limit access to the monofill, or to be able to meet grade of the slope, you know, and grade that they need, or to be further away from water source, or to stay away from groundwater or surface water infiltration. So that's so it looks like any other on-island alternatives do not appear to be viable at this time.
Did they give you any indication of the time frame, or are they going to hold fast to that?
My understanding right now is that they're planning to move ahead with the project as it's planned, and that is the timeline that they're following is primarily because the liner that they have at the Byford location is set that it expires in August, and so they need to have stuff moved. Their opinion is that they need to have stuff moved by then, and that's sort of the basis of this letter.
I stopped by and spoke with Esther today at the tribe, and she was saying that they're trying to work an angle to see if they can't buy some more time on that liner, which would be interesting. But I'd also like to point out that their letter, if you thought the other letter was snarky, their final question was, does the state have an amount set aside to fix any problems that arise over the next 10,000 years? I thought that was pretty good question. They pointed out they only budget 2 years in advance, so they win the snarky one.
So if I may, Mr. Mayor, the other thing I will say is I really need to give credit to Esther and her staff at WCA. They have really done the vast majority of the work on this, looking for additional sites and communicating with ADEC, requesting additional information, and that has been a load that they have carried that I am much appreciative of. So I just want to publicly thank them for all their work on this effort.
Any further discussion?
I would like to continue encouraging, even if they're moving forward with on-site monofill at the current location, I think we really need to advocate for ongoing monitoring of that site. Their current monitoring schedule, in my opinion, is is marginal at best.
One of the things that Esther and I just talked about briefly the following the DEC meeting is that we understand we may be quickly getting to a point where there isn't a, that they're going to move forward with the Pat's Creek pit. And that being the case, are there things that this community feels like additional long-term monitoring that are non-negotiable in our minds that we think need to take place? And so having a substantive conversation about that and getting that information to ADEC as soon as possible, I think, is of benefit.
Anything further? Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Prozaka?
Yes.
Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13N, discussion item, leave cash out policy discrepancy.
We should explain, have our city manager explain it for the public.
Certainly. Thank you, Assemblymember Gilbert. So currently, the personnel policy allows for up to 320 hours of leave to be cashed out upon anyone's termination of employment with the borough. And by termination, that can mean either you retire, submit a resignation because you're moving on to something else, or if you were to be actually fired by the borough. And the maximum amount of leave you're allowed to have is 520 hours. And so the union, the collective bargaining agreement, however, has a difference in the language in that it states people who leave the employment of the city are to be cashed out at the 320 level, but those who retire are to be cashed out at the maximum amount of leave that they have accrued. And so the question is, because we have some people, this has been brought up by someone who is preparing to retire from the city who is a non-union employee, is that discrepancy intentional? Is that something that the city, the borough, wants to maintain? Do we intend to keep the non-union employees who are retiring from only being allowed to cash out 320 hours as opposed to what the union employees get to cash out when they retire, which is the up to the full amount? And so I asked our finance director to provide us with a list of the entire number of people who have more than 320 hours of leave, and if every single one of them were to leave the city tomorrow, what that liability would be. And then I gave you the number of people we anticipate retiring and what the difference would be if we allowed them to cash out what they had as of the date the report was run. And it's a significant difference of a few thousand dollars. So the question I have to the assembly is, what is your tolerance for unifying the current city policy that applies to the non-union employees who are retiring?
Yeah. My feeling was always that we wanted to match up fairly closely, and that this seems to me to be an oversight versus an intentional policy, and so I would feel that we should rectify it so that it matches. We've done that in almost every other area, is my understanding, and so I don't think this was a deliberate thing to do.
Wouldn't think so either.
No, so I think it's just a matter of cleaning it up and making that on par with what the union's getting.
Is there any other difference between termination and retirement? I mean, are there any other perks for retirement versus termination?
Between the two?
Yes.
Not that I'm aware of, but I don't know what else there would be. Because no one is allowed to cash out their sick leave. So,
I
was just trying to see if we could trim up the policy and use one term or use
well,
a combination.
The only way we would be able to trim up the policies to match would be to amend the collective bargaining agreement.
Well,
and my guess is that that's not.
Yeah,
we can
we,
ask.
We may not want to open that up, though.
Yeah. Is it common when employees are terminated or fired that they receive the accrued
leave? You're obligated to pay people for the leave that they've earned. That's correct.
Any further discussion?
Do I have consensus from at least four of you to? Okay. We'll bring that back at the next meeting.
The item we have all been waiting for, item 13-0, approval of Shoemaker Bay Harbor Project dredge material disposal plan.
Move to approve the running track as the alternative as the Shoemaker Harbor Replacement Project's dredge material disposal site.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I am not for this in any way, shape, or form. I think there's got to be some better alternatives out there. And I've had a lot of people contact me to talk about it. And I don't know if it's the best place to be storing. I know that it tested okay, but it just potentially is a liability for the community.
Yeah.
So how's it a liability if you tested it?
Well, my understanding is we tested in certain locales. So what happens if we hit something where we got a bunch of material that comes out that it is contaminated? There's also the rotting. It's marine life, it's a sledge or sludge or whatever, and we're putting it up there while it sits and rots. We have some kid that comes up with a nasty rash going four-wheeling around in it, or a horse that loses a foot, I don't know, whatever. I just think there's better places to do it. And I do appreciate, because I lived on Church Street when we were hauling that stuff up from the harbor, the original fill, and it would smell horrible, and now it doesn't smell at all, but I just think it's a high concentration recreation area in our community, and I just don't know if it's the best place to be storing dredge material like that. But my understanding too, speaking to Lisa, is we may not be able to do a monofill on a monofill.
So my understanding is, in having talked to Amber a little bit more, is that this material can, so and I probably should let Amber speak to this. I'll give a little bit of briefing and then I'll defer to her because she's much more versed in this. The existing monofill as it is now was supposed to have been capped with soil and seeded, and that did not happen. And if we are able to place the dredge material there, granted it'll smell for a while, but this could be used as that soil cap material and then could be seeded. And we will have to keep people out. Will we be able 100% to keep people out of it? Perhaps not, but appropriate barriers would need to be put around it so that it could be allowed to settle for a while before it is then seeded. The hope is that it would be in much better shape following the capping and seeding than it is right now, which is, my understanding, a big boggy mess. So that being said, if you guys, certainly you're going to have additional comments and things, I would like to defer to Amber and or Greg to speak to this issue.
Question for Greg first. Are we still in possession of permits for filling out here?
Yep.
Why can't we do that? I mean, it come out of the ocean, put it back in the ocean.
We need it out here, so it'd have to be dredged, trucked, dumped
there.
Yeah, well, it have to be trucked up to the
Craig Meiser, 212 Second Avenue. I think you get more expensive. This out here, when we added a little bit of fill, about 30 feet worth of depth, and then re-armored it, You'd have to just disassemble the whole face of that and redo all the armor and put it back on when you're done, if you dump to the top of it. I don't think, I mean, it's doable, but upon running the numbers, it'd probably be the most expensive out of the group.
And that would have to, my guess is that would have to be engineered as well. You can't just take the rock face off and dump material and put the rock face back on, can you?
If they don't change the angle, I mean, right now we've got about a, I don't know what that is, 1.5 probably the angle now. So as long as you can change that, you can be restacking that armor.
Well, at some point to fill it, we're going to have to bring in material anyway. If we
ever fill it.
If we ever fill it.
What brought up the running track thing? Is that just because it was monofill before? Is that why we looked at it?
I'll throw it out there. I mean, I brought the running track up probably a year ago. I don't know, talking about this. Right now, it's a muddy mess. It's the kids' planet was frozen and covered in snow, and you've all seen it, what it looks like in the summer. They just drive around trucks and play monster mudders in it. That's pretty much what it is. It's getting concave. It's just a big mess. It's a mud hole. So I asked the question, based on the consistency of what that is, the amount of sand, silt, gravel, and asked the engineers if that stuff would hold together if it was allowed to, if they recommend letting it dry, put it in a pile, let it dry for a year, then you can shape it and compact it and probably seed it. But you want to shape it so the water runs off and it just create another big muddy mess. So based on what we think it is, is Steve right? Could you find something out there? Potentially, certainly. You know, the area we did dig was right below the grid where you would anticipate it being the worst for metals and leads and all that, because it was right where all the painting took place, the pressure washing, everything was concentrated right there and ran downhill. That's right where we dug, directly below the gridiron.
And are you confident that it would grow grass?
I think it would. Engineers said it would. I'd just seed that wall and it would grow. The stuff sticks about anything.
My concern is school basketball court,
sledding hill,
horses. But how are we going to keep people off of that?
Well, the amount of material we have would probably do probably 40% of that surface area. It's like 330 feet wide by about 550 foot long. And based on the 7,300 to 7,500 yards we have to get some kind of a crown on it, because you want to, there's enough material to do 1 foot over the whole thing. But all you do is create another big flat area 1 foot higher and just messy. So to shape it, the engineer figured he'd probably do about 4.5 feet in the middle to get a 2%, I think it was 2% crown on that thing, compacted, so the water would actually run off rather than just make a puddle. So you'd have about a third of that thing up there, a yard, if you seeded it.